This is Forrest Solis interviewing Anna Fox on June 24th, 2015 at 2:36 for the Creative Push Project. Okay. So if you could maybe take us back to the time around the pregnancy that you want to first talk about. Was there anything, well, in your case there is, but if there's anything that could situate us, a memorable event or a celestial thing happening for us?
Well, that night was the night of the full moon, and that would be April 28th, 2013. And that would have put me 5 weeks early, which you typically aren't allowed to have a 5 week birth. That, I mean, you can go 37 weeks, but 36 weeks is not like it's not a good thing. They don't like it, but I was refusing to go to the hospital. And it'd been a busy day. I was at my mom's, helping her with her house. My sister was painting her mom's house. And when I saw the super moon on my way home, and I thought, oh boy, get ready, because it could happen tonight. I tend to go on full moons. They have a really big pull on my body, seeing as we're made up of mostly water and liquids. And I'm very much in tune with my sister moon that I go on full moons.
Interesting. So at this point, you had a birth plan in place?
I had changed 3 weeks earlier to have a home birth. And thank God, because I wasn't ready to have another hospital experience. I was ready for a home birth. And little did I know I was going to have her in less than 40 minutes, which wouldn't have been enough time to get a sitter at my house, let alone make it to the hospital. My midwife, I called her at 4 a.m. and I said, I think I just peed all over the floor. I don't know what happened. Can you just come check me out? I feel fine. And then I stood up from cleaning, and it happened again. And I thought, okay, maybe this isn't pee, because it was so different from my other births. My second, my water didn't break until I was pushing, and it just sprayed my husband and my midwife, Lileen. And my first one, my water broke at 36 weeks or 34 weeks, and it was just like a trickle. So I didn't know what was happening, because it was totally different. And as soon as I got off the phone with her, I went into labor, like full on, this is really happening. And within minutes, she was already engaged. And I was laying on my bed on my left side, crossing my ankles, thinking, I can't have this baby without my midwife, because I wasn't ready for an unassisted birth. Although this entire pregnancy, my husband had me doing research on unassisted births, which wasn't something that I wanted to do. Because he thought we could do it ourselves. He thought, this is your third baby, you know, like you can totally do this. Don't think that you can't. And we had been watching all these videos on unassisted births, and there's this one in the Amazon. This lady gives birth in a river by herself on film. And I'm like, that's not me. I may want unmedicated, unmedical, totally, you know, hippie, let me do this with all my girlfriends and my family and my babies, but I'm not going to do it out in the Amazon, you know.
So had you been having contractions for a while?
Yes, I have preterm labor with every single baby, starting it gets earlier and earlier. Hers, it started at 27 weeks. I started being put on bed rest and giving tinctures like cramp bark and black haw and, you know, no vacuuming your floors, no doing your laundry. I had to depend on lots of people in my life, which was difficult. So I would say I was in labor probably longer than most women, just because I worked to keep my babies in. And she was still born at 35 weeks. It's too early. I don't want to do that anymore, and I got to keep this one full term, so.
So, okay, so you were experiencing contractions, but you thought it was preterm labor.
I had Jeffrey go down and get me like a quarter cup of red wine and put my cramp bark in there. And I'm like, well, let's try to stop these. But she was coming and there was no stopping. My student midwife, Jamie, got there within 20 minutes of me calling, but she kind of did her own thing in the corner, was just kind of setting up for the labor or the delivery. And she, I don't remember her being present during my birth. My 2-year-old at the time, Faith, had gotten up and typically comes to bed at some wee hours in the morning. And so she was in bed with me and I couldn't handle her touching me anymore. I'm like, you just can't, I'll cuddle, but I can't be touched, because it was so intense. And I was telling them, like, okay, I have to poop. I really have to poop. Like, this has to happen. And I'm so afraid I'm going to poop my baby into the toilet, but I have to go. And eventually I just kept sitting on the toilet and going back to bed. And it felt like a long period of time, but it was literally 40 minutes from the time that my water broke until she delivered. And eventually I got off the toilet. And I'm like, just give me a towel on the floor because this baby is coming. And my husband is like behind me with his hands under me. My 2-year-old is in front of me, you know, rubbing my shoulders because she can see how upset mommy is. And I'm telling Jeffrey, like, the baby's head is right here. And he's like, no, it's not. It's just poop. And he holds some poop in his hands. It's a horrible story. So, I'm like, no, really, there's a baby head. And he's, of course, like, the toilet's right there. I know, this is really bad. And out pops Hope's little head. And then, you know, once the head comes out, it's super easy. It doesn't even really faze me going to labor. I mean, there's some sounds that I'm everybody's got to make a noise to get the baby out. But it was so easy. And then she just came right out, and he caught her and handed her to me. And here's little Faith standing in front of me. And as soon as this baby came into her view, she was just so delighted. And she went, oh! And couldn't believe that there was a baby inside me, because she's my nurturer. She's my Aries and my lover. And she loves that baby.
So your midwife was present, though?
No. That was the student. The midwife showed up 10 minutes later. And my mom showed up right about the same time, and everybody had missed it. We did it because the student midwife just kind of let us do our own thing. She went and got me some towels as soon as Hope had been delivered. But, I mean, we did this what felt like alone, you know. I wasn't thinking about them anyways because I couldn't keep her in. She was engaged within minutes of me getting off the phone with my midwife, and I didn't call her back because I couldn't concentrate on calling her back. I had to focus, you know, because it's the most real moment of your life to feel all of that. You know, it is the most present you will ever be, ever.
So can you describe, let's see, you started having your contractions, but they were still, were they building an intensity like a normal?
Nope, they were like 3 minutes apart, and then they never got any closer until like I'm delivering a baby. They just got stronger. And to me, like, contractions, they feel like your worst period you've ever had. But they don't last that long. They just get stronger and stronger. And I read a lot of Ima Mae Gaskin before I had her. And so I really was visualizing these beautiful waves instead of thinking, oh, here's another contraction. You know, I just breathe and go inward and relax to the point where, like, there's nothing tense throughout my body. I'm completely relaxed and open, and it goes really fast. I've squatted my birth previously during those contractions, and I had my second one within 3 hours of going into labor. So it wasn't terribly long, you know. For a second birth, 3 hours isn't that bad.
Wow. No. That's incredible that you have such control over being able to relax into those.
It is the only time that I am okay with pain is labor. Because otherwise I am the biggest wuss when it comes to pain of any sort. Like, no. But labor, I can do that. Labor is good. Labor is, it's just the best experience. I get a little bit afraid of the pain, thinking, you know, the months before, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to do this. But once I get there, I'm like, oh, this feels so good to get this ginormous person out of my body. You know, I don't have to feel that because I'm not the best pregnant girl. I complain and I really make my midwives work for their money. You know, they have to keep me pregnant longer because my body doesn't want to keep them. And I'm not quite sure why I have had preterm labor with every single child, but I have.
And all the children were healthy. They didn't need to go into...
No. Everybody was really, really, really healthy. But, I mean, we have a whole food diet, and I don't take any prescriptions, and I'm just a really mentally positive person, and I think that may have something to do with the fact that my children will come out really healthy.
Sure.
For being preterm.
Yeah, your health is their health. Okay, so let's go back to the after the baby was born. What then?
So Shell gets there and she's like, what? You had this baby? Because I had told her, take your time, get some coffee. This baby's not coming. I'm not going to be in labor. And obviously I was. And the midwives, when they do this, they look over the baby after they're born. It is the most detailed look over ever. Like, no doctor has ever looked at my babies and taken the time to, you know, check their reflexes the way that she does. It's really beautiful and magical, and Shell's hands are amazing to me. She has these scorpions on her top of her hands, and to have Shell's pictures with her hands on my babies, it's really special.
So did you keep the umbilical cord intact?
I did. They did a beautiful artwork for me of my placenta and her umbilical cord coming down into a shape of a little heart. And I also did a belly casting this time with this baby. It's half of my body from my neck all the way down below my butt and my hands on my belly. It's really beautiful. My girlfriend Sarah, who's an artist, is painting it in some type of celestial looking, because, you know, I have full moon babies. I need the universe in whatever art that she's putting on there, because I really feel that my children are traveling the stars during my pregnancy, and, you know, they want to be here at Earth and the stars keep pulling them back, you know, stay with us longer.
Interesting. So so you immediately you went on the bed or something and they put the baby on?
No, I sat on the floor for a good 20-30 minutes, you know, waiting for the placenta to not only come out but the cord to stop pulsing and really to see that the blood had gotten all to the baby. And then I actually cut the cord on this one, and that was interesting because it was really like, you have to cut really hard and it makes this loud crunching sound. You know, it wasn't what I was expecting because I never cut a cord before. It was always Jeffrey's job. But you really have to have some strength to cut a cord. I can't imagine animals having to chew that. It was tough. I didn't save her placenta or eat it, this one. I donated it to my midwives who were doing a placenta encapsulating class. And I said, just use mine for that. I'll take mine next time.
So they encapsulate the placenta and then give you it in pill form?
Yeah, actually my girlfriend is going to make chocolate out of mine. Chocolate bars, the placenta chocolate bars. And it's supposed to help, you know, during PMS and especially for the baby when they reach puberty as well, because it lasts forever. Yes, it can help them with their PMS because it was her placenta. So, it's in my freezer. It's dehydrated.
That's fascinating. Okay, so then Did the baby nurse immediately?
No. Hope had a little bit of a problem nursing. She had a good lip tie. And being 5 weeks premature was difficult. She tried to use the nipple shield for a little while. She had the worst colic. And we just had a really hard time bonding in the beginning. I mean, she's definitely my baby, and she's still nursing now, so obviously we got that down. But it was tricky. It took us a good 3 weeks to get a really good latch and for her to really understand what we were trying to do, because she was too early.
So were you supplementing?
No.
Wow.
No, I just kept working at it. No.
That can be kind of emotionally difficult, I imagine.
The colic was probably more emotionally, you know, upsetting than anything, having your baby cry. And that started by the time she was about 3 weeks. So by the time we got the nursing down, the colic kicked in, and then that was awful. 8 hours of crying a day.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Wow. So, okay. So, should we move on to the next story?
This one's a lot more peaceful. So, Destiny's pregnancy. I started preterm labor at 21 weeks. I was sick for 14 weeks during my first trimester, vomiting every single day, multiple times a day. All I could do was sleep. Like, that was the... Oh, my gosh. And... All my kids were planned. I wanted a baby. Apparently, my husband had been trying to get me pregnant for months. But I am so powerful that that won't happen unless I choose it to happen. So, whenever I want a baby is when we get pregnant. And I wanted Destiny so badly. I was ready. I made my period come back. I took Chase Tree. I took... royal jelly, which is what they give to the bees and the queen bee to make her be able to have as many children as she has and to be healthy. And I wanted this baby, and so I got pregnant. 14 weeks of vomiting. I'd never experienced that. I typically have up until like 7 weeks is when it starts, and it only lasts 1 or 2 weeks. But 14 weeks was heavy. And I gained 10 pounds, which I thought was really cruel to me, to like not be eating anything and then to be gaining weight. It's awful.
10 pounds is nothing, though.
It is something when you typically lose 8 pounds and instead you're gaining 10. Like, that wasn't very nice. So... I did everything I could to help myself not be nauseated. I made all these essential oil sprays, and like just nothing worked. No ginger candy, nothing. I just had to get through it. And we went on vacation in September, and the week that we left, I was driving, and that really helped just to concentrate on something else. And I only had like a few bouts of nausea since then. And by the time we got back, preterm labor started. And I was off and on bed rest, drinking black hot tea and taking cramp bar tinctures. And this time we added false unicorn to it. And another one, but I can't remember the other one. I had like 4 tinctures that I was taking on a daily basis. And my midwife had me trying hard apple cider. And it's about the same alcohol content as kombucha, which I drink daily. So I didn't mind having that. And it was really tasty. But for some reason, it really did help slow down the labor. And I took Epsom salt baths with baking soda every single night for 20 minutes, because the magnesium helps to slow that down as well. And then also I took a lot of Nature's Calm, which is a magnesium supplement, along with calcium lactate, to not only help you stay regular during pregnancy, but it really does help with preterm labor. It makes you nauseated, but at least your labor stops. And it wasn't too long after Christmas that, so again, I'm bed rest, off bed rest, don't clean your floors, like, you know, my house doesn't look like a mother lived in it for a while, but that's okay. And 6 weeks before she came, I had, my girlfriends did something called Seven Sisters, where once a day I would have one of my girlfriends show up with either food or they'd come and clean my house. And we were packing to move at the same time, which is awful to be that pregnant and packing and moving. And so it was really nice having someone there to help me. That really made it good. But by the time I hit 37 weeks, it seems like labor kind of shut off for me. And I don't know if it was because I mentally reached full term, so I wasn't freaking out about it. Because there were a couple times that my midwives came to pick me up to take me to OB triage because I was in labor. But I'd get to the hospital, go through the hospital doors, and they would stop. I'm so sorry to make you come and get me at 11 o'clock at night because I'm in labor, for it to stop as soon as we get to the hospital. I mean, we even got pulled over one time and I thought I was transitioning and my midwife yells, yell louder so that the cop would let us go. Make more noise. And I'm like, I'm in labor. How much more noise do you want me to make? But still, we get to the hospital and they stop. Uh-huh. I was dilated, like, 4 centimeters. No, we didn't get a ticket from the cop. He's like, well, you better slow down. And Shell's like, you know, you could have birth in my car if you wanted to. That'd be okay. That would be the first. It'd be really exciting. I'm like, well, we'd make the news, you know. But it didn't happen because every time we get to the hospital, my labor would stop, which is fine because she wasn't meant to be born there.
So you weren't dilating at all during that?
I was a little over 4 centimeters, and apparently effacing doesn't matter, but I'm pretty sure that I was almost as effaced as you could get. So.
So then the pre-labor stopped, and then you know, there was a point where you continued to take it easy.
And no. And then we moved to my mother's house because our home wasn't done being remodeled. And it wasn't even move-in-able until like 3 weeks after Destiny was born. So we get to my mom's house and I really wasn't having any types of labor issues. And mind you, my mom's house is like 40 minutes away from my midwife because she's way west. And I'm kind of located off of I-17 and the 101. So that was a little bit of a concern, like, is my midwife going to make it to this one? I was closer to the student midwife. She was like 10 minutes away, so that was good. And I'd made it all the way to 39 weeks was when Destiny was born. I was nursing Hope in the bed on the floor, and I heard and I felt this super loud pop. And I thought, oh my God, I just ruined my mother's futon. And I felt really bad because, you know, there's typically blood, but there apparently there wasn't. And I text my midwife and I text my mom and I said, my water just broke. You should probably head over. So they both literally flew, ran red lights, and my mom was driving the company car, which I probably shouldn't. You can edit that out. And they all made it within 5 minutes of me giving labor, which really, it feels like a really long time. And I labored in my mom's kitchen because I didn't want to labor on the floor and mess up her carpet. So I made a little nest on the kitchen floor where the counter, and I could reach up and kind of like hang on to the counter. And all my girls were there except for Hope because she was still asleep. And Grace is 6. And Faith is 4. And Faith was very much into it, just as much as she was into Hope's. And Grace wasn't. She kept running to the window to see who else was there and making lots of loud noises, which was really distracting. And at one point I had to go, you have to leave or you have to be quiet because I have to concentrate and you were breaking my concentration. It is important that I make the noises that I'm making so I can get this baby out. This is how you have babies. Mommies make loud sounds. You know, they're kind of animal sounds, but that's what brings the baby out. and she was definitely stressed out by the labor. She wasn't going to watch. She said, I'll be here, but I'm not going to watch anymore. Okay, that's fine. And during one point of the labor, everybody had got there, and I'm still talking when the contractions, because I still have a break between my contractions, even though labor is in there, not until like I'm pushing the baby out can I not talk. And it was just really enjoyable to have my midwives there for this one. And I remember pulling onto the countertop and I'm pushing, and I thought, okay, I have to pause for a minute because I could feel my cervix wasn't open. And so I reached down and I felt her head, and this pause was an amazing pause. It was like being connected to every other mother birthing. The universe, I could just feel myself opening and connecting and feeling her. And it was so just so real. And then I thought, okay, we're ready. I felt two little clicks. And I opened up the rest of the way and pushed her head out. And the cord was wrapped around her neck, so they removed that. And then I pushed her out the rest of the way and immediately put her on my chest. And she put her face to my boob and started nursing, like within seconds of being born. And Jeffrey was right there. He'd been filming the whole thing, but as soon as she came out, he came and sat right next to me. And it was really beautiful. Really, really beautiful. And then my birth photographer showed up and got a lot of really great pictures of the afterbirth. And I didn't bleed at all. There was no bleeding for about a half hour, maybe an hour. And Shel said, this is really weird that you're not bleeding. But I had such a toned uterus because I guess for having four babies, and then all the tinctures that I was taking, helping keeping her in there, and two, the mommy tribe that I'm a part of, they were all visualizing for the longest time, keeping my cervix closed with me, and I think that collective thought really helped me make it to 39 weeks in a couple of days. And Destiny was born just a few hours before the blood moon. My water broke at like 8:12, and I had her at 8:52, and it was a full moon. I kept having to stay out of the moon's light in the evening because it would cause me to go into labor, and I wanted to wait to either Easter Sunday or the blood moon, and I could no longer escape her light apparently because my water broke.
Can you elaborate on what a blood moon is?
Can I have a tissue, please? Thank you. All right, a big edit coming up.
It's like so squishy. Dolls. It's like when they make a doll.
Oh, she does look like a little porcelain doll.
She
just looks like
a little porcelain doll. She's a perfect baby, I'd have to say. Okay, so the blood moon is an eclipse moon where the sun comes in between, or the earth comes in between the moon and the sun, and it turns blood red. And that started at about 3 a.m. And I had her not long before that. We were awake, so we went out and sat under the blood moon for a little while and just felt it. I had a shaman who's an American Indian and Native American, I guess. And he was planning on coming to my birth and delivering her, but he had a powwow that night. Like, what else would an Indian be doing under blood moon? So they were saying prayers for Destiny under the moon, which was really, really beautiful.
Yeah, that's a really beautiful story. Yeah, I'm really glad we captured that. Can you talk about the process after she was born then, too, with this one?
Oh, so having multiple children and having a baby means that you don't get to stay in bed and really have any recoup, which is fine because I literally have coffee flowing through my veins at all times, so I can communicate to my children. I had help for about 2 days, and then my mom had to go back to work, and then my seven sisters came over pretty good, you know, for about a week, and that was really nice. But for the most part, I had four children to myself. But it gets easier the more you have, because they really do play with each other, keep each other occupied. My six-year-old can get snacks out, you know, drinks for people. I'm not going to go and lay down and take a nap and let them, you know, just be to themselves. But it is a lot easier. I think two was scary, but four was okay.
So Destiny didn't have colic or...
No, she no colic at all with Destiny. And she was my first full-term baby and my first baby not to have colic. And that was phenomenal to not have a baby who cried. Within the first week, she was putting herself to sleep, sleeping all night long. She now sleeps and has been for about a couple months. From like 9 o'clock at night is when she really goes to deep sleep. And she'll sleep until after 9 in the morning. Waking up maybe once or twice. She is the easiest baby. I really visualized her this way during this pregnancy. I visualized her dark hair, which my other girls do not have this dark of hair, but I saw her as a dark-haired, chubby-cheeked baby. I visualized her being really calm, really peaceful and easy, because my last was a Taurus, and she was birth control for a long time. Like, she just didn't want anybody else coming into this family. And, you know, she's not difficult, but she's really strong. And she's going to be the president someday, which is totally fine with me. But I needed an easy baby. And I didn't visualize Hope being an easy baby. You know, it was a really big transition in our life as well. We were moving during her birth or her pregnancy. And I didn't know that you could visualize your babies into being perfect. And so I did. And this is what I got. You know, I created this.
She really is. She looks perfect. I mean, but most sleeping babies have that way about them, don't they?
She's really cute. She's been talking since about 6 weeks, yeah, and communicating and smiling, and she just laughed the other night, and I thought, wow, you know, like, you are really here. You're more here than my other girls were, and she's very vocal. She's amazing. She's snoring a little bit.
So, let's see. Maybe I can solve my questions.
Oh, we didn't talk about weight gain.
No, how was that?
So, with every baby, I have gained 60 pounds. I kid you not. 60 pounds. So, after my first, I only lost 40. And so, I still had that extra 20. So, when I gained 60 pounds the next time, I had to lose that much more. And I did. I worked my butt off, and I got down to, like, 118 pounds, and I thought, this is awesome. And I got pregnant again. As soon as I got down there, I got pregnant. And with Hope, I don't think I lost all of her weight before I got pregnant with Destiny, because my arms are still a little bit chubby. I didn't gain a full 60 this time. I think I gained more like 52. And it goes off pretty easy because I'm on my feet a lot and I'm nursing too. So I'm burning an extra amount of calories, which is nice. I just need to throw some cardio in there.
How do you feel about your pregnant body?
I love my pregnant body. I think it's really sexy. The pregnant shape, the fertility of it. I mean, it's just beautiful. And strangely enough, like, men are really attracted to the pregnant body. I had strangers on a regular basis, like, hitting on me big time. I thought, this is so weird. What is up with these guys? Like, obviously I'm in a relationship. I am pregnant. And here you are, you know, telling me that you think I'm super sexy. Like, who comes up to a pregnant woman? Do I put off those energies? Like, what is it about me that you think you can come up and tell me that? You know, I'm friendly, but still, like, you don't say that.
Did you feel sexual during your pregnancy?
I mean, I can't have a lot of sex because of the preterm thing. And so we go forever without it. Like, he can have whatever he wants, pretty much, whatever I can do for him. Or he'd do for himself, which I make body butter, and I had made a balm, and it really is the balm, but you don't have to reapply it. Like, but once and you're good to go. So I made him his own little, there you go, buddy. Because, like, you know, you're pregnant and tired. And
I did not feel like having sex when I was pregnant. I
mean, I'd like to, but it just wasn't possible. And Jeffrey's really sexual. Like, it's exhausting.
I hated my body, though.
Oh.
Like, I couldn't wrap my head.
I had problems during the first couple ones of, like, I hate this weight that I am gaining. I can't stand this. And by this one, I thought, you know, I'm not going to do that to myself. That's really negative. I've come so far emotionally to a place of peace and loving who I am that I decided I'm going to tell myself with every pound that I gain, I love that weight, because that weight is helping me to have a healthy baby, and round bottom girls make the best breast milk. They really do. They make the kind that really help grow a baby's brain. So, you know, I'm going to love my very round bottom and my curvy waistline and my extra little jiggly bits, because I can't not anymore. I've just come to that place where I'm good with this. So, yeah, I mean, first pregnancies are difficult with that image. But now I really love it. And I really love other pregnant bodies. And my girlfriend Sarah, who does art, is doing, she has a picture of my pregnant vulva that's being painted. She's doing one in this beautiful, it looks like a shell and the sea and the sunset. And then another one is a black and white. And it's beautiful. I mean, it's really artistic. The labia is all laid out nicely. And apparently I have the most feminine hoo-hoo that you've ever seen.
I'd love to see it. I mean, the painting.
I will send you a picture. I may post it on the Facebook. I don't know. I'm probably going to lose a lot of friends if I do that. So I may not, because I have a lot of conservative friends.
You can hide post too. You know, like, only allow certain people to see it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, I'd love to see that, you know. And the connection between art and storytelling, too, is very strong. So it'd be cool to see her work.
And it's my body. And I don't want my girls growing up thinking that they can't love who they are. I mean, I didn't even really... I grew up in a really conservative home. I didn't even know what my clit was for until my late 20s, when Jeffrey explained to me, like, what this body part was. And my little girls need to know about that special little spot. I mean, that's... Like, that's horrible to go through your whole life not knowing that you were given this little thing for your pleasure alone. It's enjoyable. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
You're still so tired. Yeah. Okay, Destiny. It's okay. You're sweaty. She's so wobbly. She does have bag eyes. Did you see my picture on Facebook? Well, not that one. Well, that one too. But the little square one picture in it. Like, her and her eyeballs.
Oh, yeah, the little
she's,
one.
Yeah, yeah, she looks like the big bad wolf. You know, like, better to see you with, my dear.
The concerned expression she has looking at us. Like,
what is happening?
Hey, chubby, it's okay.
Oh, my God, yeah. So sweet.
It's amazing. She can make your eyeballs look as big as they do.
She does have a very expressive face. She's who are
she
you?
She doesn't look like any of my other kids. She looks like my Italian side of the family. And when I was 3 months pregnant, we were having a family reunion. And she imprinted with them when we were out there with that aside. Because none of my other girls are all very blonde. You know, big blue eyes like she has, but she looks different. So she looks like my mom's brother, which is fine. That's good. We plan on having one more. And so I'm hoping our next one will look like her. Look at this chin. Like, it's like a little grape. It's like a little fat deposit right there.
I'm obsessed with her face. It's like the most expressive baby face I've ever seen. Like, she's so judgmental.
Judgment from a baby.
It's going to take years of Botox to get that forehead round and furrowed. Oh, oh, look at that forehead.
You can smile, Destiny. You can smile.
Oh, so cute. All right, so I guess the only thing I would ask you is, we've been asking women, because we were separating these into themes, to try to sum up or encapsulate their experience with, like, a word or a phrase of words.
Hmm. Well, work. I work to keep my babies pregnant. And it is not easy to be put on bed rest. That is horrible, because I'm a Virgo. I like my house clean. Everything has a place. And I cannot do that. You know? And Jeffrey's like, quit vacuuming the floors. I'm like, well, you're not going to do it. You know? He just thinks it's busy work. But I like clean floors.
Yeah, I'm sure he appreciates it.
I can't say that pregnancy to me is like, oh, so euphoric. Labor is euphoric to me. I am high for months after giving birth. And I felt this way after every labor. It's like sunshine has been literally poured in through me. And I not only love everybody in this universe, but whatever universe is out there, I have enough love for all of them, too. And it's really like joy, so much joy, like crazy shaman guru, like, oh, you know, I just want to ohm with everybody. Yeah, I love labor. It's crazy. It's my favorite part, and I look forward to doing it.
That's perfect. Are you going to have more kids?
Yes. No way. My pendulum told me that I am to get pregnant this summer, which is really crazy because I've already started ovulating. I ovulated with the full moon, which was a surprise because we had sex the night before, like crazy, good, passionate, like, yes, we finally connected, you know, and I ovulated the next morning. I did not get pregnant, which is a big surprise, but I'm supposed to be pregnant with a boy. His name will be Maximus Eros, the son of Venus. So he will be Maximus Love. Cupid is who Eros is, and so, who doesn't need more love in their life?
That's amazing. So, do you have all girls?
So far. Wow. Yeah, four girls. And I get that a lot. Like, wow. But with, like, this crazy look on their face. Like, why did you ask for that? And I always say, like, oh, I hit the jackpot. You know, like, it's not a bad thing. People are so afraid of lots of children. And children are awesome. They're fun. And they make you laugh.
Just love this thing. My mother had, she has five sisters, so there were six girls all together.
Six girls. It's amazing that you can get so much of the same sex. I have a girlfriend that has five girls.
It's unusual, actually, that you would